This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You damn Skippy, we start now. Once more, an appreciation of D&M Auto Leasing for the opportunity to chat with those five fellas of Payne and Pendergast. Actually, you're headed out to rookie minicamp, aren't you?
I am.
All right, very good.
If anything dramatic happens out there, do you want me to call
yes.
in?
Yes. Oh, that was the whole point of me asking.
Okay, yeah.
Call in immediately. We will break into whatever we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep. So you can expect, hopefully, to hear from Sean Pendergast once more today.
I'll have some hot David Johnson level takes.
Oh, yeah. That's what the
Body
people
types.
Want.
Yeah.
That's what the people need, in fact. All right, let's get going on a Friday. It is indeed a Friday. Thank goodness that it's a Friday. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. And you joining in the myriad ways that you can do so here on Sports Radio 610, there is the text line, 713-572-4610. Always, always, always love for you guys to be a part of the program. It's much more fun to get through the workday that way. Also, appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live stream. Both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch page, 610 Houston. And not only is it Friday, it's rookie minicamp,
yeah,
baby.
Here, man.
Yeah, man.
Who y'all trying to see?
Let's have that discussion, right? Because, look, in a way, if you're a sicko, which, look, you wouldn't be here if you weren't some level of football sicko.
Yeah.
This is kind of where the start of the 2025 season happens, right? Like, this is the beginning. And so let's get into that football mindset. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that we could learn this weekend and that you want to learn? 713-572-4610.
Look, and let's not downplay. I mean, it should be downplayed to a degree. It's the rookies to a degree.
Not only is it the rookies, it's fairly limited. Because like, and Nick Caserio said this with Payne and Pendergast when he jumped on with them. It's always insightful to some degree. I know that there's, as you mentioned, a lot of word salad that happens. But there's things that, and he's giving more and more with the more instances that he has with the general media, but specifically with those fine fellas. They're getting in, they're getting familiar, they're ramping up. So it's not going to be everything, but that first taste means something.
Right, and that's what I want to emphasize, because there are some things that we can start to learn, let's put it that way.
Okay, that's a great distinction.
About some of these guys. Last year, just 1 year ago, we were hearing things out of rookie minicamp about Kamari Lassiter. How did that work out? I mean, Kamari.
I think he was good.
Yeah.
I do love that I saw someone on the text line earlier this week, and I feel bad that I did not say earlier. They're already starting the All-Pro Kamari or All-Pro Lassiter.
Pro Bowl Lassiter? Pro Bowl Kamari?
Okay, Pro Bowl is probably the easier path to go for.
I'm about to say All-Pro.
That's what I was like. They're already starting that one, and I'm like, okay, I love the...
Let me get some of that Kool-Aid, the weed you smoking, though.
So then do we try and push the Pro Bowl Lassiter, Pro Bowl Kamari? If Pro Bowl Lassiter
Pro Bowl
hits, right?
Seems better.
All right, so let's push the Pro Bowl Lassiter agenda. I'm going to put that on the docket for In the Loop LLC. I'm going to go ahead and write that down on my legal pad here. Pro
Bowl
Lassiter. All right, so we'll keep that going. But yes, you're right. Like last year, that's where we started, and Kamari Lassiter had a phenomenal season. Like opposite a bona fide all pro in Derek Stingley Jr., And I don't think you could say on the other side that he was lacking. Like, that was not a situation where teams were like, well, that guy over there is a all-pro this year. Mm-hmm. Let's throw to the other side. Oh, no.
Yeah. No, look, let's talk about some of the things that we could fit into that realm.
Okay.
I think the first one, we got news on it yesterday, today. Is Jaden Higgins, like, the real deal? They think he is. He became the first ever second-round pick to get a fully guaranteed contract. I mean, that says something about at least how they feel about him, and we also know how important Jaden Higgins might be to this receiving core. So that's something to look at today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know to what extent we get the feel, but, like, obviously there's a lot of guys in that room who could be kind of that third wide receiver when it comes to you get to the three wide receiver sets that have become so standard for teams. It feels like pretty much a given that he is that guy. Like, that is the one where you're right. I think that we can get a Kamari Lassiter-like insight into whether that is officially the case, whether it's just like, yo, Higgins is that third guy to start with unless somebody else comes out here and does something fantastical, which I think is fair. Like, I think that's absolutely a fair place to be, and I'm excited. Like, I continue to think about how exciting that is because he does kind of profile as Lil Nico, right? Like, he has the fluidity. He has the versatility. And, of course, maybe most importantly, he has the size. That I'm so excited for the possibility of, in the same way that I'm talking about, like, and to further that Kamari Lassiter comparison, in the same way I'm talking about that either or proposition, which is really just neither when it comes to your cornerbacks, I love the either or proposition of Nico Collins and Jaden Higgins on the other side if he can come along as quick and as seamlessly as it seems like he might be able to.
Yeah, and there's another obvious one, and then I want to get to some less obvious ones that we might get some
100%
some light on this weekend. But the other obvious one is Tay Ursary, because there is nothing, and players will tell you this, if we had Seth still on, he would probably say it, rookie minicamp, there is nothing like getting that individual coaching on technique, getting ahead on the system, a new system for everyone, by the way, and he's starting now, and showing how much of a bully or a specimen he can be, playing tackle. All eyes are going to be on Tay Ursary, at least from people like Sean Pendergast and all the reporting types that are going to be out there. This is it's going to be all eyes on Tay Ursary. Is he? What does he look like? Physically, you know, is he going to be able to show what he can do at the tackle position? Will he be a threat? You know,
yeah. And the thing I'm concerned about, and of course this is I use the word concerned a lot, and this is probably the lightest iteration of me using it. It's just we might not get a lot of information off of Tay Ursary in this weekend.
Physique. Size, movement, that type of stuff. You know?
I was going to ask y'all, who y'all think going to be the MVP of this mini camp so far? Who are we going to be talking about the most? Or are people going to be talking about the most?
I have a dark horse candidate. I have a dark horse candidate, and he's one of the less obvious ones.
I wonder if it's one of the ones that I'm interested in.
It might be.
Please.
Tafuna, the defensive tackle from Utah.
Okay, that was not where I went, but that's a good one.
Yeah, he is a pass rushing inside defensive lineman. You know, he's a guy that can collapse pockets and get guys, you know, moving. Obviously undrafted free agent, but nevertheless, one of those guys that they clearly had an eye on, very very good career as a defensive lineman. I think he's going to be one that some people might go on, "Hey, who's that guy?" you know?
Yeah, and I think that Junior Tafuna is who we're talking about there, right? I think that this is one of those places where you absolutely could see something like that, him factor in. I do wonder, however, with him, if he is able to supplant what is a pretty robust room.
I'm just talking
there.
About a guy that can maybe impress. Yeah.
Fair enough. That is fair. Since we're there talking about UDFAs, like, I think that's going to be an interesting subplot of this is, like, which or who of those UDFAs might kind of stand out within here? Because, and I will salute again Jonathan M. Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, who had also a piece speaking of the rookie minicamp and talking about, you know, five things that he's watching when it comes to this. And one of those is which of these undrafted rookies stand out, pointing to British Brooks was in that place last year. And he ultimately did not have a lot of a factor in the regular season, but going into it, he gave you a little bit of a good look. He felt like he was a guy that could have been utilized in some special ways, especially when it came to fullback. Didn't come to fruition, but I think I put that more at the feet of Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
But it feels like you have some guys who might be able to step in there. And obviously, Tafuna.
Who were you thinking of?
I was thinking about Eli Cox.
Oh, you know, he's my other one on my list.
Yeah, it's Eli Cox is one of those guys. And again, with offensive linemen, I do wonder how much you can actually get of this.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see how highly they view him because one of the things that we know, even though each of the guys that played center last year for your Texans that started, they had their own issues, and but they had some things they did well, some things they didn't. Neither of those guys, I think, are we so solid on that they are absolutes with the center's position. Is there any possibility that someone like Eli Cox could come through, and especially in an offensive line position where that's not one of those places where you absolutely have to have that high draft pick type talent? Like, obviously,
happens a lot.
It would be preferable, right? Yeah. It shows that you know that there's that competition and what have you, and that's why guys go higher. They've shown improved. Yeah. But this is an opportunity where, yeah, you could have somebody who's undrafted step in, especially in a center role where that's less predicated on like size and athleticism per se. I'm interested to see just how much he's going to factor into this competition on that line, particularly at that center spot.
And he is, I mean, there's opportunity there, number one. He's played in the SEC. He was a team captain at Kentucky. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago or a week ago. His coach at Kentucky for 2 years is the Texans' assistant offensive line coach. So he's got some ins. He's got some advantages there. Another couple of other sort of low-key things that we should be able to get a little more clarity on after the weekend here, beginning today. So Jackson Woodard is a linebacker.
Correct.
That the Texans signed after Seattle waived him. Seattle already has had their rookie minicamp.
Right.
So is that a good thing or was it not a fit? I'm very intrigued by that because maybe, you know, they decided, yeah, we're good after seeing him at rookie minicamp. So maybe he's just not what the people thought he was. Or maybe he just wasn't a fit there, but could be a fit here. And the Texans wasted no time getting him in.
Yeah, and that's a good question because you would typically kind of ponder on the idea of if a team's like, hey, you're cool, but you're just
not going to happen here.
Like, we don't have enough guy, like, or we don't have like room. They'll keep a guy and like see if they can get him to the practice squad. That's not what they did there. And what I'm looking at, to be fair, is they got a lot of linebackers.
Yeah,
the Seattle Seahawks do. So maybe it was just, even if he has some level of fit, even if he's a good player, it just does not quite fit with the number of guys. Like, even if we got to that place where we're like, hey, we want to keep another good guy around and see if he can make it to the practice squad. There's a whole bunch of them. I also wonder, because again, that's a Seattle Seahawks team that plays a 3-4 as opposed to the 4-3.
Yeah.
So maybe that fit does come through. But also on top of that, I do wonder if, not wonder, but I do feel a little bit more comfortable in the idea that that he was not necessarily just like a not great player, and that's the reason why Seattle moved on, because it's not like this Texans team did not scout the entirety of the draft class themselves.
So that's
like,
why there's intrigue there.
Yeah, I don't think that they immediately went and put in waiver claims on this dude just off the idea of, well, you know, let's see, as a flyer. I'm sure that there are some things that they like about him that they want to see up close and personal. So I think that could be cool. I do wonder if he would even really have an opportunity to break in into that linebacker room. But maybe if he shows up and he has the things that Frank Ross looks for in special teams, like, could he beat out someone like a Jake Hansen? You know what I mean? Like, is that something where he can end up being that depth guy who also is a special teams all-star?
And you mentioned Frank Ross. That's the other little low-key thing that we need to keep an eye on here, because rookies play special teams. Undrafted free agents that are excellent at special teams have a better chance of making the squad. Drafted guys like Jalen Knoll, that's a guy to watch. You know, the cornerback, Jalen Smith.
Jalen Knoll especially, like, is he going to be returning kicks?
Right.
And how good does he look doing that? Because I think that speaks heavily on one of the other dudes that you got signed up, which is Braxton Berrios. Because I already don't really view Braxton Berrios as a wide receiver for you on this team, with all due respect to Braxton Berrios. Like, if you have Jalen Knoll in there who, you know, again, if you're just going off of roster and if you have injuries turned off on Madden, right?
Yeah.
He does not profile as a guy who is going to start. He might be involved in some ways, right, in the rotation of wide receivers, maybe so. But it seems like his best opportunity to impact a game might be in returning.
Yeah.
If he does that, then where's Braxton Berrios fall? Like, he might fall right off in some ways.
Yeah, and we've mentioned this a couple of times. Frank Ross has had a very big, very good offseason, very good free agency, very good, you mentioned Berrios, very good draft, very good with these undrafted free agents that are also going to be out on the field. How about Jalen Reed, the late round crazy man safety.
Hey, we might be doing a little much, right? He was just excited. Although, you know, he played one of them positions where he might be.
You want right? crazy man on special teams.
I don't know. Like, also, I'm always very uncomfortable using the word crazy,
well,
like, especially
in a sports term.
No, I know what you mean. No, I'm just like being completely honest.
He's a crazy man.
My hesitation is like I'd be trying to be careful with the word crazy because there's
let's
all sorts
swarm.
Of things. But yeah, yeah. Also, crazy man. Like, hey, man, I need you to rein that in because we've come off a couple dudes that maybe you could term at some level crazy man. I feel like Chris Boyd. Maybe you put that in that space, and yeah. there were some issues with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the issue specifically being like you know penalties and stuff. I'm not yeah. trying to make it. Anything that it's not, but yeah, man. Like,
what was that term he kept saying when they called him? Not let's go. It was
let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. And yeah, let's see if he's ready to do it, right? But also, yeah, I would love somebody more guys in the room with that kind of energy.
And oh, by the way, you got a long snapper not named. You got long snapper Austin Brinkman in, not named John Weeks. He'll be out there, I guess, snapping. I don't know to who. But he'll be out there. And one other, by the way, we're going to find out numbers today.
Yes.
We're
yes.
going to find out numbers, Figgy.
We will get some idea about numbers. And one of those guys' numbers that we're interested to see, 832. Let's see that boy, Woody Marks.
Yeah.
That is fair. But yes, also, yeah.
that guy.
I always forget that Woody Marks is forever indelibly tied to John Harris being way more excited than I ever anticipated. Hearing John Marks, but apparently he might have the toughest time picking a number because both of the numbers that he wore at USC and Mississippi State respectively mm-hmm. are tied up with Kamari Lassiter wearing the four, CJ Stroud obviously having a seven. Fours where he were at USC, Mississippi State he wore seven. So where does he go? Does he do the crazy thing of being like I'm going to wear 47?
Is he going to be a single digit? He's been a single digit.
He could be, right? Like, both yeah. of those are single digits. That would maybe lead you to believe mm-hmm. that he is inclined more towards
yeah.
single digits. So, interested to see that. Mm-hmm. Ursary, I think, hypothesized by Jonathan Alexander again. Ursary could get his college number since Shaq Mason has vacated it. Yeah. A nice 69, which would be very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Smith, you know, he wore 2 in college. So, those stand to reason that you end up with those spaces. Noel probably gets his college number 13. Higgins... He wore 9 in college, so we'll see where he goes. But yeah, seeing what those
Brevin
numbers
Jordan's
look
on
like.
The clock again.
oh, you think? Ain't no way.
No way.
All right.
no way what?
They come in, the young boy coming in, just jacking him for his number?
Oh, no. I thought you said no way that he's like getting cut or something.
Oh. Well, actually, I don't really feel like, who would you be in your tight end room in that instance? Because it's Dalton Schultz, it's Cade mm-hmm. Stover. I think those feel evident, whether it's the number, yeah. the dollar amount that Dalton Schultz carries. And then I think just Cade Stover seems like he has the mm-hmm. most promise to play yeah. big for them.
But Cade Stover have a big camp. And he's showing like, hey, I could be number 2.
Sure, 2 mm-hmm. is fine. Could, but then yeah, you still need that depth. And yeah. I mean, you have, besides Brevin Jordan, you have Irv Smith.
Lachey.
And Lachey.
Luke Lachey.
Yeah, I always wonder because I'm like, what's the famous Lachey cat? Is it Nick Lachey?
It's his dad. He was a lineman. That's part of his.
Know about Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey's hockey, right?
What?
Sure.
Oh, the singer, the entertainer.
nope. He's a hockey player.
played a he couple do sound like a hockey player.
Played a couple yeah. years for the Atlanta Thrashers. I remember him for sure. Nick Lachey is
too
a hockey player.
There's too many Lachey.
But that's why I feel like I will always yeah. pause before I say Luke Lachey because I got to remember Luke Lachey. So for the 832, their prediction for the Texas O-line from left to right, Cam Robinson, Howard, Eli Cox, Blake Fisher at right guard, and Ursary at right tackle. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow. That is, you got some funky right, stuff happening there. All right.
Jim Lachey played for the Redskins.
Correct.
Is his name.
Okay. Correct. Yeah. But yes, that's wild. But the first step to figuring out if that's the case, if Eli Cox can take that role, is seeing what rookie minicamp holds for us today. If we get a call from the great Sean Pendergast, we know that something is indeed moving around and shaking around out there at camp.
Sean needs to call in with that sound.
Is that the sounder? Yeah. Is that the bat phone sounder? Okay, very good. That's the rookie mini. If you hear this sound, know that the rookie
somebody
mini
got
cap,
a Woody.
That, okay, all right, that was good. I got to admit. All right, coming up next, because I just want to run away from that. You are in the loop on this Friday. Coming up next, this Friday also begins for the Astros. One. It is a Hunter Brown day, so happy Hunter Brown day to you. But it begins one of the big stretches in this Astros season. 17 games in 17 days. What has to happen in these next 17 days for the Astros to call it successful? Let's talk about that next.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Friday to you right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Let's have a good one. John Lopez,
ready break.
Tula, Figgy Fig hanging out with you on a Hunter Brown Friday, on a rookie mini camp Friday. We were just talking about some of the undrafted free agents that maybe we're interested in when we were talking about rookie mini camp. And that got me, we just kept talking about Eli Cox because I know it seems like some people are really excited about the possibility of him. And I was like, wasn't there an undrafted center recently that was really good? And I was trying to remember, and I was like, nah, it's not Jason Kelsey because he was a sixth rounder. Yeah. You got it for me. It was Jeff Saturday.
Jeff Saturday was undrafted as a center.
I forgot about that.
Shout out to Eli Cox.
Man.
Just go be Jeff Saturday,
dog.
Yeah. You know? You're going to be on ESPN one day.
Yeah, he's going to coach the Texans.
And then he's going to coach the Houston Texans for a half a season.
I'm going to start calling him Coach Cox.
And then go back to ESPN.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Stepping on pancakes.
What if Eli Cox is that? Like, he's Jeff Saturday, like, step by step. All pro, you know, Super Bowl. Coach Cox.
That's a good thing, man. We're going to get the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that'll be good for the Texans ultimately. It'll just be very, very weird if that happens.
You're going to be in the Ring of Honor if that happens.
Yeah, Ring of Honor.
He absolutely will. And so we're just going to go.
Hall of Famer?
Are we manifesting?
Of course.
Is that what we're doing? We're manifesting Eli Cox. On his rookie minicamp debut, we're manifesting a Jeff Saturday. All right, we are unserious people. And that's how you know it's a Friday. But again, salute to Hunter Brown, who starts what will be one of the most, I think, most important stretches in the season, I guess relatively early on, at least in the first half of the season, a 17 games in 17-day stretch for the Astros. And it comes at a time where they're playing 500 baseball to this point. And so with that being the case, somebody said, why is he saying Cox like that? I mean, that's just his name. Anyway.
How do you say it?
Cox.
I don't know. Are we?
Do I say it funny?
I don't think so.
Cox.
I don't want you to keep saying it. I think you said it enough.
How do you say it?
Yeah, that's the way you're supposed to say it.
I don't know that there's... Sorry, I got distracted. That was very squirrel... I think I feel a little squirrel brain today. I need to lock in. Because, again, the Astros, 17 games, 17 days, and Hunter Brown starts us off. He'll get a few times in this stretch. But, like, what are the things that need to happen in this next 17 days to consider it a success?
Let me ask you guys, too, because... not to be, you know, over the top here, but this is a pretty decisive stretch.
I think so.
It's a pretty, you know, you got 36 games under the belt, and Aggie Math is at work as we speak. That'll be 53 games, right?
I didn't double check. Sorry.
53 games by the time this stretch is over. That's dang near a third of the season. So it's a pretty big stretch of games here without a break. So what has to happen to maybe feel after this 17-game stretch, all right, they're in business, or uh-oh. You know, one of those two things. I mean, number one for me is Yordan has to get back. They keep saying May 13th. You know, it's a good sign, as we talked about yesterday during buy or sell, that the MRI came back, whatever. You know, not something crazy bad. But it better be – that's into game three, I guess, of this stretch, game three or game four, when Yordan can come off the IL.
No, that'd be game five.
Game five? Okay.
Yeah, that'd be game five.
He's got to get back.
Okay.
And not just back, but he's got to get back as – his old self, because as I speculated, I thought the hand was probably had something to do with a slow start too.
Yeah, I mean, I would very much like him to get back, especially because again, this team has been really rough with slugging, and Yordan is supposed to be a huge slugger in this lineup. And so, yeah, man, getting Yordan back, getting him back healthy, because it feels like also the 17 game stretch, it ramps up nicely for you. You start with the nice little homestand, six games. Three versus the Cincinnati Reds, which who we obviously are welcoming in tonight on a Jose Altuve throwback white and pink jersey night with Hunter Brown on the mound. And then you'll welcome in the Kansas City Royals, who is a team that they are not all that offensively inclined right now. Neither of those teams really are. I think of the teams that you will be playing in this stretch, the team that probably has the most offense, well, not probably, the team that clearly has the most offense is the one that you end with the Seattle Mariners from the 22nd to the 25th. So, like, I think that this it ramps up nicely, but you want to get yourself going, especially offensively, because, you know, once you get to the end of it, right, once you get through the first six, then you go on the road for six, where I imagine that you can't lean on the, well, not imagine, you can't lean on the Crawford boxes in some ways. Hopefully you're hitting a little bit better that time, and then you get the test of the Mariners on the back end of it. I think that it lays out kind of nicely, but yeah, you're right. I would definitely like to get especially Yordan back and going well, but also just hopefully a decent amount of these guys going to some degree as they go.
And then the other big one, you know, the obvious one, is Jose Altuve. We know he's lost a step. Shout out to Patrick Creighton. But
don't antagonize him now.
So we know he lost a step.
We know he's lost a step.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. Look at the data. Okay. But we know he can also, you know, turn things around at the plate in other ways. Very quickly, he needs to do that. He needs to do that over this stretch.
I would very much appreciate if that happened. All right, so there's that. What else do you feel like needs to happen during the course of this? Because you talk about Yordan, the guy who I really want to see get comfortable is Christian Walker.
That's it.
Because I was looking at, you know, I did the thing where I just got on Baseball Reference and was clicking all sorts of different places to just look at things. And I was uncomfortable at how many times Christian Walker showed up in some of the some of the less flattering stats when you talk about, you know, outs made and, you know, kind of strikeouts and things of that nature. I'm like, man, he has had a really rough go of it. He felt like he was supposed to be one of the givens offensively and a protector. And I mean, he's also had to step up or push forward. And when it comes to in the lineup with Yordan being hurt, I would very much like him to, you know, find his level, because this is a lot of games in a stretch where you need that experience that he was supposed to bring to kind of show through.
I mean, you need to go on a run. So to me, it's not just Yordan. It's not just Altuve. It's not even just Christian Walker. It's also Isak Paredes. You got to get these two guys going. He's been okay. But the Astros right now rank in the AL, they rank ninth in runs scored and 20th in OPS. You've got to get your offense going to make that run. That's what I want to see over this 17-game stretch. And then there's, you know, you're not necessarily in watch the standings mode, but it'd be nice if the Mariners cooled off a little bit, or you could take, you know, three out of four toward the end of this stretch here. The Mariners have a 4-game lead on you right now, and they're 8 games over .500.
Yeah, they're playing very well. And of course, it would be very helpful for you to win that series at the end of this 17 game. Pitching wise, how do you feel? Because, I mean, this team has been fantastic, you know, pitching, but now you're entering that space where they're gonna stress you a little bit. And you're going to that 6-man rotation, so in a good way, you are getting more you're getting more guys in. And it was great that Lance McCullers came back when he did, but he's going to need to be good Lance McCullers, right?
Yeah.
And he's finding his footing. I think he looked all right in his debut, but, you know, what are you getting out of him? And maybe more importantly, Ryan Gusto is going to be involved in the six-man rotation.
Yeah.
And he had been very solid. Like, continuing that trend is going to be necessary.
You know what you're getting out of Hunter Brown. They're going to win tonight. He's going to pitch great. I can tell you that right now. All right? Now, that's not such a short thing with Fromber. So you got to get the good Fromber. But the most important two players on this pitching staff to me are Ryan Gusto and Lance McCullers Jr. Gusto, I gave him a little bit of grace in his last outing in relief because it was raining and it was,
cold.
It was cold.
More than rain. It was cold.
Yeah, it was all that. And then McCullers has to respond. And, you know, as they're playing this six-man rotation. So those two guys are very, very important. And, oh, by the way, Yonner Diaz. Would you like to throw out a couple of runners here and there?
Are you holding out hope on that one? Especially because one of the issues with it, I know his pop time has not been particularly good, but one of the things I mean we know is also the pitchers aren't getting him the ball all that quickly, and I don't know, is that a trade off that's worth it for what was
if he's
was
swinging
this,
the bat?
This well, I mean for not for your for Yiner, yes, yeah. But I'm talking about like the pitching now.
Mm-hmm.
Is the trade off of them not getting that ball to the plate very quickly? Okay, when you have, what is it, the second or third best ERA in baseball, or in at least in the AL?
That's a good question. I would tend to think you still got to do better. I mean, opposing base runners to this point, they've stolen 40 out of 45 stolen base attempts. They've been successful. 40 out of 45.
You know what they got to do, right?
They're going to be running like crazy. No, don't say it.
Martin Maldonado.
What are you doing right now? Why are you doing this?
Are you available?
40 out of 45, man. That's a lot. They're going to be running like crazy on him. Everybody. Not just stolen bases, but, you know, they're just going to make sure that they put pressure on him.
That wouldn't have happened on Martin's watch.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You're so bad.
Well, at least, I mean, it does feel like Yiner is finding a little bit more of his level offensively.
Yes.
Well, all right, so of the 17 games, if you had to give me a record that you'd be happy with coming out on the back side of it, considering that your opponents are four teams that all offensively rank lower than you in many metrics, including maybe easiest like OPS plus.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these teams are lower than you, below average outside of the Mariners. Well, yes. So
yeah.
In that 17 games, what would you be happy with the Astros going and then on the backside of this?
I need to see 11-6, right?
11-6, you
yeah.
say?
Yeah, I need to see 11-6. It's very workable early. You have actually four in Arlington against the Rangers. So you got four games there. That's very doable. And then you end with Seattle, four against the Mariners. So you go into that final series, and if you can have a chance to win out of a 11 out of 7, because they need to make a run. You know, they need to put some pressure on. As I said, you're darn near a third of the way through the season when you come out of this stretch.
Yeah, and I hear you, but the only thing, I hear you on making the run, especially with the types of teams, but then the stress of playing damn near every day. And maybe this is another thing that I'd like to see. Some of the depth guys make sure that they step in well, right? DeZenzo is going to obviously factor in here. McCormick, Chaz is going to factor in here because I imagine managing your position players is also going to be a part of this. So all these guys are going to have to stick together. I think I'd be good with a 10-7.
10-7?
Like if you ultimately are positive, gain a little ground with the understanding that this is tough, but there's some teams that are beatable, that'd be great. And it starts tonight at Daikin Park. Hunter Brown on the mound for your Astros, starting off the 17 games in 17 days. Well, I'm sure we'll check in with how the first series went come Monday when you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get to the question of the day. This weekend, Mother's Day. Mother's Day is this Sunday. And so for that, our question of the day is as follows. What are some things or something that you did as a kid that disappointed or upset your mom the most? We'll do that next. 713-572-4610. Next, In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Yeah, happy Friday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get to our question of the day, because this weekend is Mother's Day. Well, I mean, Sunday of this weekend is Mother's
it's
Day.
It's a weekend thing now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so if you have not gotten something done, you got a day and a half to get yourself squared away to do something for mom. Go ahead and make that happen, especially because you know you was wilding. You know you annoyed the hell out of her, and that's where our question of the day starts. What are some of the things that you did as a kid that disappointed or upset your mother?
The most.
713-572-4610. Lopez, don't go ahead. I need you to know something.
Yeah?
Don't go monopolize this segment, because I know you was annoying Your mama.
Yeah, I know. Lopez,
I know you was.
He could take
mama.
This whole segment.
No, man. I was a good kid. I was always
man,
like.
Get out
so
of
then
here.
What happened?
I know. Yeah. Then what happened? No, that's fair. But I was always like straight, you know, good student, good kid. I was the baby. I was her favorite, all that stuff. But two things immediately came to mind that I felt so bad, man. Like it, you kind of this happens and then you're like, that probably wasn't good. The first one, so you're in high school, right? You're always eating snacks, watching TV. You eat like crazy, you know, whatever.
Sure.
So I used to like, whatever, get a sandwich, get a snack, you know, candy, whatever. And I'd put the wrappers between the cushions of the couch.
Oh, man, I hate that.
Where I sat. And, you know, my mom would always tell me, just take them, throw them to the trash. It's just right there, blah, blah, blah. And then one day she said, I can't believe I did this. She says, I would rather you just throw them in the middle of the room than stuff them between the cushions. So I grabbed them out of the cushions and I tossed them to
oh,
the middle of the room.
Oh, you were a jerk.
Oh, man.
I just did like a jump shot with all the trash.
You catch a chancla for that one?
I caught a chancla.
Okay, very good.
I caught my dad's ire. I caught I caught a lot of grief. I just said, all right. And I went, just threw him in the middle.
About
the
how
room.
Old? Like, I need to get in the mental frame.
It's high school, right?
Yeah, 15, 16.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's about right.
I just
yeah.
did a little jump shot.
You need your feet whooped for that one, man.
Jump shot with all my trash.
That is unbelievable. So, I hope the gifts after that
how
one
about you?
Were good. There was a couple that came to mind, which is weird because disappointment was an interesting word. I immediately thought of like where I chose to go to school out of high school. So I made a decision that I was going to go to Kansas State University out of high school. Like I was set. My mom's was like, "You sure? You sure?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm going to do this. Like I'm going there." It's like out of state. You sure? Cost money.
Cost money.
I'm like, "Nah, man, I got this scholarship. Yeah, and it's going to work. This is top five architecture school in the nation. I'm doing it."
Yeah.
When I tell you the decision was made that I was going to come back home after a year. And this is the thing. She didn't give me a lot of grief then, but I could tell.
Yeah.
And ever since, I'm talking about, what is it, a decade
to
and
this
a half?
Day, yeah.
To this day.
I told you.
It's not that explicit. This is why it hurts more. It's the little references in there. Like, and you know, I when I was telling you not to go to Kansas State, it's like, oh God, oh,
here we go again.
All right, yes, I get it. I did not go to the place that you wanted me to go. I spent a lot of money I probably shouldn't have. Yes, you're right. I get it.
Where did she want it? I'm just curious.
Somewhere that was not somewhere not, that was
not
Kansas State,
Manhattan,
probably,
Kansas.
Yeah, probably she, like she, Texas Tech or something.
What she have against Kansas State?
Money.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Money. I get that.
She was right. Like that's the thing that sucks because I know that she
after
was right.
A year.
Mm-hmm. I know that she was right. And you talked about stuff in the cushions that did make me think. I used to be the kid that stuffed everything underneath the bed.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
And she ate me up. Drove
him nuts.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. So I was sitting here trying to think. I couldn't really think of one. So I decided to text my mother.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is always good.
Yeah. So this is what she said. Shout out to my mom. I don't know if she's listening now or watching it on the YouTube. But I asked her, I sent her the question of the day, and this was her response. She said, when you had that rental car and you was at church and y'all, which is y'all was my first girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who I got with at
did
church.
She like her?
Huh?
Did she like her?
Yeah, she loved
her. Okay, good. Because that y'all could mean something
yeah,
else. If
and
she had,
y'all.
You and that
yeah.
woman.
Yeah, no, she liked her a lot. Mm. I think she still talked to her, which is kind of.
That's weird.
It's a little bit. I'm going to have to talk to my mom about that. But she said, when y'all had that rental car and y'all was at church and y'all was going to McDonald's, didn't come back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Yeah. She,
just that one time. So,
yeah, she kind of figured out that we left church and we was kind of messing around.
I totally forgot about that.
Oh. So I didn't realize she was that disappointed in me.
How about the 832 said in sixth grade, he took his mom's divorced wedding ring, his divorced mom's wedding ring, and gave it to his girlfriend.
Hey man, she not gonna use it. You know what I mean?
In
like so.
Sixth grade, got a diamond wedding ring.
Let me get that. You know, you're not using this, so let me give it to somebody who will. Yeah, that's crazy because there's a lot of money there that you probably would have recouped in that way.
Oh, from man, the they four, are rolling in.
414 flushed crayons and markers and an orange down the toilet at school and then lied about it for 2 months until the principal called their mom and talked to her on the phone for 2 hours. Then you owned up to it? Yeah. Yeah, you waited too long, friend. You spent way too I don't know if it would have been better if you had owned up to it earlier, but it definitely got worse. Yeah. Like, I know that for certain.
I know this has happened to a lot of people. 346. My mom went to slap me, and I caught her hand.
Oh, yeah. And now you fighting back. That's even though you're not fighting back, but now you are fighting back.
Nah, I told y'all my story. I thought she was about to hit me, and I just kind of tried to cover my face.
Yeah.
And she thought I was about to backhand her. She's like, hit me.
He grabbed her hand, and then he said, that's when she started grabbing random things around the house to hit me with.
That's the big mistake as a kid. Like when you try to get grown and grab the hand,
it's tough.
It's like, oh, nah.
And this is one might take the cake because, again, this is another one of those. They said from the 361, when I was 16, my mom got me an interview where she worked and I failed the drug test. So not only
at 16,
only were you out here doing the drugs,
but you embarrassed me now.
That's the
at
thing.
My job
at work
for the rest That's of the her thing. Career. There, it's like, oh, you know, her son does drugs.
Yeah,
he failed the drug test.
Like, I can't even get my son in because he failed the drug test.
You just over there making your mom look bad,
Patty
like
son,
like she don't know how to, like she ain't give you no home training. That's the one that really gets
man.
It.
I had one where I borrowed my big brother's jacket to go out, whatever. And my mom washed it the next day, and she came in red in the face, just, is this yours? And I was like, what? And she was holding it up, and it was a condom.
Oh, man.
Wrapped, I hope.
Yes, wrapped. And I said, nah, I borrowed Manuel's jacket. That's got to be his.
Nah, you dirty dog. Ain't no way.
Oh, boy. I got off the hook with my mom. But my brother had something to say about that.
I bet you caught some fists.
He used to hit me in the thigh so nobody could see it.
That's how you do it. Yeah. That's a smart man.
My thigh would be all bruised.
It's maniacal, but it's a smart man.
He got in trouble.
He got in trouble, and then he pounded my thigh about 100 times, and it was just black and blue.
And you earned it. You earned it. And from the 346, they said a thing that they upset their mom. This one. Married my wife, it's been 8 years, still the same. Yeah, that's one of those ones. You did one of those things that she did not approve of.
Yeah.
You are in the doghouse. A lot of those are coming in. Keep those coming in. But really, more importantly, remember what you did to your mom and make sure that you thank her accordingly on this Mother's Day on Sunday.
Even if she's still mad at you.
That's right. If you have the opportunity to, and of course, one of the things I always want to remember on days like this, condolences if you don't, because I know that not everybody, like, these types of occasions, we typically think of them as like happy ones.
And single parents.
Right. So, if you do not have that happiness, my condolences and my thoughts are with you because I know that it's not always a happy time for everyone. But there you go. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to Around the NFL, where we're kind of around NRG in some ways. We got numbers, baby. We got numbers from training camp. We'll talk about, or from rookie minicamp, rather. We'll talk about that and more next.